This is Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to ask you, if you have a Bible and are able to turn right now, turn to the book of Romans chapter 15, and we're going to continue our study through the book of Romans. We're beginning to land the book down, and once we're done, good Lord willing, we'll just begin into another book of the Bible. If you're listening and you would like to listen to some of the previous broadcasts or perhaps listen to some of the messages from our church, we have them all available on a website. And that website is www.ghtg, that's the initials for Good Hope Through Grace, ghtg.org. That'll bring you to our website, and then you can get the sermons off of there that you'd like to listen to. Also, any information about our church is there also. Love to have you come and visit us sometime also on some Sunday morning. Love to see our visitors show up and just let us know, hey, we listen to you on the radio. We're getting ready to enter our 8th year of broadcasting by God's grace, and it's always good to hear from people and from folks that listens to our radio broadcast. So tonight, Romans chapter 15, and we're going to be focusing in on verses 15 through 22. Now, Paul's beginning to wind the book down, and here in this section, what he does is he describes his ministry. He gives a description of his ministry to the church at Rome. And he's going to give us five descriptions, and I'll go ahead and give you my outline in the beginning, and if you can, you can write it down, but I'll be giving it as I go through, of course, the teaching, but I'll give it to you at the beginning so you can listen for it. Five descriptions of his ministry. His ministry was a ministry of grace. Number two, his ministry was a ministry to the Gentiles. His ministry was a ministry of the gospel. Number four, his ministry was a ministry of glory. And then number five, his ministry was a ministry of going. So that's the five points that we'll look at this evening in our radio broadcast, which describes the Apostle Paul's ministry. Now let's go ahead and look at the first one. His ministry is described as a ministry of grace. And we see that in the verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. Now, he mentions the grace that was given to him of God. And that's the reason why we entitled this a ministry of grace. And the Apostle Paul, when he's talking about God's grace, he's referring to the grace that God had bestowed upon him in saving his soul, first of all, and then also in making him a minister of the gospel and a minister of the grace of God. In the book of Acts, we're doing a study in the book of Acts on Wednesday nights, and it hadn't been long ago, we've been looking at his conversion. And the Apostle Paul was going up to the road to Damascus. He was the chief persecutor of the church. And he was going to on the road to Damascus to go up there to take the disciples there, bind them, and bring them to Jerusalem. But on his way there, Jesus appeared to him in the way. And one of the reasons why the Lord saved him in such dramatic fashion is because he was going to make him an apostle. An apostle had to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. They bore witness that they were men who literally saw Christ in his resurrected body. That was one of the qualifications for being an apostle. So Jesus appears to him in the way, and he is converted. He becomes a believer in the Lord Jesus. He trusted Christ as his Savior. It's interesting, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, he says that the Lord apprehended him. Sometimes we talk about someone being apprehended, taken into custody, so to speak. Well, he said, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus, he said in Philippians 3:12. When was he apprehended? It was on the road to Damascus. The Lord saved him. Now, that's an example of grace. Grace is unmerited. Grace means that it's something that you receive that you didn't earn, nor did you work for. Paul wasn't saved by his good deeds, though after he was saved, he'd done many good deeds. Yet what saved him was God's grace. So his was a ministry of grace. In the book of Romans chapter 1, we seen that when we started the book, the Apostle Paul spoke of his ministry and referred to it as a grace, Romans chapter 1. And the verse 5 says, by whom we have received grace. We have received grace and apostleship. So you'll notice he referred to his ministry as a ministry of grace. He received it by grace. He didn't deserve it. He wasn't looking for it. He never asked for it. The Lord bestowed it upon him by his grace. And what a privilege it is. Isn't it a grace to be given the privilege of serving the Lord in the ministry and in serving the Lord at all? I mean, it's a great grace, I think. And we think of grace, we're talking about saving grace, salvation grace. But it is a tremendous blessing and a tremendous grace to be able to be used in the Lord's work. So he spoke of all of that. He spoke of it as grace. He was a minister of grace. In the book of Galatians 1, I love this text. He talks about, in Galatians 1, his conversion on the road to Damascus. Gives us a little bit more information about it. And listen to what he says here. He describes what he was before he was saved. For ye have heard of my conduct in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. There he refers. He was a Pharisee before he was saved. He was a religious man, but he rejected Jesus. Think about that. He calls himself the chief sinner in the book of Timothy, but he was a religious man before he was saved. And why does the Lord consider him the chief sinner? Because he persecuted the church and he spread a false message. They were a false religion. They rejected Jesus. So that shows you how big a deal it is to peddle a false message. Verse 15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You see, his ministry was a ministry of grace. He was placed in it by the grace of God. And he describes that in different epistles that he wrote, what he was, and he shows them what God did. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, I believe it's the verse 10, he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he realized that he wouldn't have this ministry of grace if it hadn't been for the Lord apprehending him. If it hadn't been for the Lord making his appearance to him. If it hadn't been for the Lord calling him. He gave God all the credit for it. In the book of Acts, one of the things it says about the Apostle Paul, whenever he sent a disciple to him by the name of Ananias. And one of the statements he made about Paul says, but the Lord said unto him, go your way. He's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. So he was a chosen vessel. He was a vessel of mercy. He was a vessel of grace. And he received grace. And his ministry was a ministry of grace. And you can study his epistles. And he spoke often. Here in the book of Romans, we've seen him speak often of the grace of God. And that's one of the greatest, that is the greatest thing there is. When you're talking about the great blessings, and that's the blessing of being saved by God's grace. It was Paul who wrote in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. It means you don't earn it. That's why salvation is called a gift. A gift is something someone else earned. And give, it's a gift to you. You must receive it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul was a messenger that spoke the grace of God to the Gentiles. The Gentiles under the old covenant was basically considered heathens and lawless and immoral and ungodly. But God bestowed upon the Gentile. And there was very few Gentiles saved under the old covenant. There was a few, but not many. But under the new covenant, he's brought us right in and made us vessels of his grace. And we get called by his grace. And he saves us by His grace. So Paul had a ministry of grace. And you know what? We still have that today. We are recipients of His grace. It was grace that put me into the ministry. And I preach a message of grace to people. A gracious God that grants mercy to repentant sinners. And it's even God that brings you to that repentance. Oh my, how great it is to have a ministry of grace. Well, let's get the second description of His ministry in the text. And it's given in the verse 16. Verse 16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now, we've already mentioned that, so we won't spend a whole lot of time on that. His was a ministry of grace, but it was also a ministry to the Gentiles. Now, he also, as he said in Romans 1, he went to the Jew first. And you look at his ministry, that's what he did. He would go to the synagogues and he would use the scriptures and he would reason with them from the scriptures to show that Jesus is the Messiah. Oh, and it's easy, my friend, to take the Old Testament scriptures and to share Jesus with people. You can go back to that Passover lamb in Exodus 12 and show Jesus. You can go to that brazen serpent in Numbers 21 and show Jesus. You can go back to that lamb. They offered a lamb every morning and every evening in Israel. And you can show Jesus from that. All the sacrifices was in some fashion a picture of Jesus. Jesus is all through the Old Testament. And the Apostle Paul would go to those scriptures. And he would go to his countrymen. And he would share and say, hey, this is talking about the Messiah. He would go to Isaiah 53. And he'd say he would show how the Messiah would be crucified. And how the Messiah would be a substitute for our sin. And would suffer the wrath of God because of our sin. He would do all of those things. He'd use the Old Testament scriptures to do it. Well, but he was primarily, he found his most success amongst the Gentiles. He preached to the Jew, as I've established. But primarily his most success was among the Gentile people. I have a tender heart towards the Apostle Paul. I'm forever grateful for that man that by God's grace was made a minister, who took the message of salvation to the Gentile people. He being dead, yet speaketh. And one of the reasons why I say that is God in His grace used him also to pen over half the New Testament. He penned the Word of God. And we have it down to the day. I'm so grateful. I've preached many times. I've talked through every book that the Apostle Paul wrote. And of course, he didn't write that up on his own avail. He wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit. He wrote God's Word. So he's still ministering today, you could say, to the Gentile, but also to the Jew. He had a zeal towards his own people. He said in the book of Romans that he could wish himself were accursed from God for his kinsmen according to the flesh. The Apostle Paul had a zeal towards his own countrymen, but also towards the Gentile people. God sent him to the Gentiles. So he had a ministry of grace, was our first description of his ministry. But he also had a ministry to the Gentile. And we can read all about that in the New Testament. And he's even having an impact on the Gentile people, even down to today. Well, let's move on to our third description of the Apostle Paul's ministry, and it's also given to us in the verse 16. He said that I should be the minister of Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Now, that's what was his main message. Now, he preached and taught the whole counsel of God. That's what he said in the book of Acts 20. He preached the whole counsel, and every minister of God should do that. Sometimes ministers get just their own few things, and that's what they preach on all the time. You should preach the whole counsel. I think that's why ministers should pick books of the Bible and teach through them. And it forces you to look at texts that are hard. It also helps you get more acquainted with the book and your church to get more acquainted with the book. But he was a minister of the gospel. That's what he was. Now the gospel message is God's message of salvation. So important that you know what the gospel is. And I will say some things, and I'm going to ask you to look them up. I'm going to make some statements, and I want you to check them out. There's not 20 gospels. There is only one gospel message. Now, when I said Paul's ministry was a ministry of the gospel, I want you to understand that he received that gospel by revelation. He didn't receive that message from any man. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, that's what he says, that he never received the gospel by man. Neither was he taught it by man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is Galatians 1, 11 and 12. He makes it clear that the gospel that he received was by revelation. That means Jesus revealed the gospel to him. The message of salvation that Paul went to the Gentiles with, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile, he received that by revelation. He didn't receive it of any man. Now, here's where this is so important. What is the message of salvation? Well, it would be the message that Paul received from the Lord. It would be that gospel message. Well, he recorded what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 1 through 4, he records the message that he received from Jesus by revelation. I think 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is one of the most important texts in all the Word of God, because here Paul declares what's contained in the message. You'll notice in 1 Corinthians 15 he makes some statements about the gospel, and then he defines what's in the gospel. Get that? Statements about the gospel, then he defines what's in the gospel. There's a lot of people who claim to preach the gospel, but they add to it. They add things to it that's not in this text. And whenever you add to the gospel, you pervert the gospel. A perverted gospel is a message of death. That's why you got to preach the pure gospel. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you. He says, I preached it. He says, which ye have received. That's how the gospel saves you, when you receive it. In order to get saved, you got to receive the gospel. You got to know more than what the gospel is. You got to receive it. You got to trust it. You got to put your hope in it and your confidence in it. See, so he says, I declare unto you the gospel. He's going to define in the text what he preached for salvation, what he received from Jesus. So he says, I preached it to you. Now he mentions which we have received, which ye have received, wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved. You see where it says, by which ye are saved. How do you get saved? By receiving the gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. When someone believes in vain, they don't continue. Many people make professions of faith and then they walk away from it. They believed in vain. When someone's had a true conversion experience, they don't walk away from it. When someone's truly been born again, they continue. They last. The reason why that is because they've had a new birth. They're born again. And the Lord keeps them. All right, so now we looked at those statements about the gospel. Now he's going to define what's in the gospel. Verse 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you, first of all, which I also received. Again, he mentions that he received it. This wasn't a message of his own invention. This was a message that he received by revelation of Jesus Christ. Here's how he defines it. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. My friend, I present to you tonight that that's what the gospel is. The message that Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose again the third day, victorious over sin, death, and hell for your sin. By receiving that message is how you say. By trusting that message is how you say. Now, when you go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Here's a statement that he's made. It says in verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Now, I want you to understand something about baptism. Baptism is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of the message. When you watch a baptism, you see one brought down underneath the water and then they're brought up. It's a picture of the death and burial and the resurrection. But it is not the gospel. It's a picture of it. You get saved the moment you receive Christ as your Savior. But baptism's a picture. And another picture of the gospel is the Lord's Supper. In the book of Matthew chapter 26, it's also a picture of the gospel. The fruit of the vine is a picture of His shed blood, and the bread is a picture of His resurrection. You say, well, how will the bread picture His resurrection? It was a seed that was planted in the ground and come up. So the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and the ordinance of baptism are both pictures of the gospel, but they are not the gospel. That's why He said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." You got to know what the gospel is. After you receive the gospel, you become a disciple. You're saved. And then you're to mind the Lord in baptism. So, you need to know what the gospel is. And you don't need to add to it. You don't need to add things to it. The early church in Acts 15, I should say some, not the early church, but some that claimed to be from the church of Jerusalem. They were going to the Gentiles and saying that wasn't enough. Faith in Jesus wasn't enough to save them. And they added circumcision. Well, in Galatians 1, Paul said that's a perverted gospel. And I'm telling you tonight, anything you add to the death and resurrection of Jesus is a perverted gospel. A perverted gospel won't save your soul. You got to trust the true gospel as defined in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Romans 1 says the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. Well, he was a minister of the gospel. He spread it. If you want to see people saved, you got to spread that message. Let's get back to our text. We're fast running out of time. So, he was a minister of grace. He was a minister. He was a minister of the gospel. And third of all, of course, I got out of order just a little bit. He was a minister to the Gentiles. And we're thankful for all three of these all the way down to today. Fourth, he was a minister of glory. And when we call him a minister of glory is when his ministry was all about the glory of Jesus. And his ministry brought glory not to himself, but to the Lord. He didn't desire any glory for himself. And here in Romans 15, he mentions how what was done in his ministry, God did it. Now listen, verse 17, "I have thereof whereof I might glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders and by the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they shall have not heard, shall understand, for which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you." So, he gave the glory for all the success of his ministry. He gave every bit of the glory to the Lord because he recognized that the Lord was the one that produced it all. He said, "I dare not speak of any of those things which Christ hath wrought by me." Christ done it. Christ used him to do it. And we must never forget that. Too many people in God's work become arrogant when they see things begin to happen. But if it happens, it happens because of the Lord. He said in the book of 1 Corinthians, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God giveth the increase." And he said that the Gentiles became obedient in word and in deed. In other words, they had more than just a profession. They had a profession And then they had the deeds that goes along with a genuine profession. My friend, a true faith in Jesus will produce a change in somebody's lifestyle. He'll change your life. Old things will indeed pass away and all things will indeed become new. You'll be changed. You won't be perfect because you still live in a flesh body. But I can tell you one thing, my friend, you'll be changed. You'll desire fellowship with the Lord and you'll want to serve Him. And it'll be something that people can see. One of the things that happened whenever Zacchaeus was saved in the book of Luke chapter 19, Jesus visited his house, obviously presented salvation to him because he got saved that day. But all that is said about Zacchaeus was half his goods he gave to the poor. And if he had kept back anything from false accusation, he restored it fourfold. Such as the Old Testament law required, if you stole something, you restore it fourfold. And that Jesus said, this day salvation has come to this house. His deeds never saved him, but his deeds showed that he was saved. Genuine faith in Christ will produce deeds. So when he talked about the Gentiles, he said they were obedient in word and in deed. So he was a ministry. He had a ministry of glory, a ministry that brought glory to the Lord. And because the Lord's one, he give the glory to the Lord for all that happened in it. And so should you. Fifth description of his ministry is described as a ministry of going. He described going from Jerusalem and all round about the area that's listed in verse 19. Elecrim. It's a hard word to say, and I no doubt pronounced it wrong. But I looked it up, and it carries the idea of he went about 1,400 miles presenting the gospel. He had a ministry of going. That's what Jesus told us to do. Go ye therefore and make disciples, and you make disciples by spreading the gospel. Well, my friend, we're fast out of time. Paul's ministry was a ministry of grace. A ministry to the Gentiles, a ministry of the gospel, a ministry of glory, and a ministry of going. And my friend, every one of us should have such a ministry as that. We're saved, we should be going, sharing the message where we're at, sharing Jesus with other people. May God add His blessings to His word.